This is 20 Minutes for Tech, episode 28, Technology in the FCS Classroom. Welcome to another edition of 20 Minutes for Tech, your instructional technology podcast. Today we're talking with Mrs. Shank, family and consumer science teacher and department coordinator at Manor Middle School in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the podcast, Tina.
Thank you.
And we also we have a bonus today. We also have joining us two of Tina's middle school students, Gabby and Matt. Thanks for joining us, Gabby and Matt.
Thanks for having us. No problem.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, today we'd like to chat a little bit about some of the cool things that Mrs. Shank's doing and her role as teacher in class and how she feels about integrating technology into her classroom and some of the uses of educational technologies that you're employing in your class, Tina. And then we'll also get Gabby and Matt's ideas and their experiences and feelings about what it's like to be not only in Mrs. Shank's classes, but also maybe in some other technology-infused classes as well. So, Mrs. Shank, Tina, tell us a little bit about your background as an FCS teacher.
Well, I've been teaching for 34 years. I just completed 34 years this week. And so when I started teaching family and consumer sciences, I was a home economics teacher. And very traditional. The technology of the day was a overhead transparency machine.
Oh, yeah.
And a film strip projector. And so I've come a long way, I would say, in using technology into my classroom.
I have to admit, sitting in class as a student, I've been I've seen both of those on both sides, so I can identify with that.
Yeah. So a few years ago, in fact, I guess a few now becomes more like 6 or 8 years ago, I became aware that I could make a web page, but I didn't know anything about making a web page and actually was kind of intimidated because I viewed myself as a person that didn't know much of anything about a computer. It was kind of scary, actually. But the district offered this grand opportunity that they would actually pay me to come to a few classes if I would, as an end result, end up with a web page that I would use. And so I decided to take them up on it. And somehow I got bitten by the bug. I began to realize I actually could do this stuff. And if I was going to do it, I wanted to make it very meaningful. And so that began what was to become quite a journey of creating all kinds of things using various ways of technology in the classroom.
Right, right. So you are proof that it's not only those young whippersnappers coming out of college that can use technology. You are a veteran, and you got, like you said, bitten by the tech bug, huh?
I certainly did. Yeah, there's no question about that. And when I made my first web page, I wanted to make sure it was useful as a tool and not just something that would be there. And so I began to post things that I thought would be helpful to students and their parents and make a connection communication-wise. And when I saw how that began to work, then it really became something that I continued to work on because it's such a powerful way of connecting the classroom to the home and the community. And so the web page is really an important part of my teaching experience now.
Now, as I remember, you started out with ClarisWorks or that version of web page software. Now, how has it progressed? Has it gotten easier to create web pages? What do you use now?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I did start with ClarisWorks, and it's so much easier now. It's much more user-friendly. We use, in Penn Manor School District, we use Moodle, and teachers have access then to be in complete control, really, of their web page. Before, I would have to maybe have some tech person or somebody help me sometimes with the design and creation on my web page, but now it's just completely user-friendly. It is so easy, and I can edit it and change it within just, you know, moments. It doesn't take, like, a lot of extra time to maintain my web page.
Right, right. With Clara's homepage, I think, actually, it was you would have to create the files and then make sure they were all linked correctly and then give them to a tech person to upload, whereas now with Moodle,
right.
you log in and you have a few clicks and you're done. So
that's right. And yeah, exactly.
It's definitely come a long way. So tell us about your recent podcasting efforts. How did that kind of start, and why did you do that? Why did you employ that?
Well, I constantly am looking for ways that to use technology in the classroom that will in some way engage my students in learning something, but have them use the technology in a way that I think they might experience it at a higher level of education or in the workplace. And I think podcasting is something that is on the brink of becoming a big way in which communication, information is expressed. And so I wanted them, my students, to experience creating a podcast, listening to podcasts in the classroom, and hopefully at some point when they're older, these are eighth graders, and when they're older, maybe they will have an experience and they'll say, oh yeah, I did that once, and it might be different because technology changes all the time. It might be different how they make it, but they will hopefully have that connection. And it turned out to be great fun to make podcasts. It's really easy because I never made a podcast either before, last year I made my first podcast, I think.
Right, right. So let's go to Gabby and Matt. We'll start with Gabby. Did you get a chance to make a podcast? And if so, how did you go about doing it? And what were some of the things you had to do? What was the assignment?
Well, the assignment was to take to find a fact and then to write a script about it and then make a podcast. And we had made podcasts before in our computer classes, but not that much.
Okay.
But I knew just enough to know that I was supposed to go into GarageBand and create a podcast and hit record. I found it was really, really easy to make one. And they were kind of fun to edit and add things to it.
Okay, and Matt, what was your experience like with the podcast?
Well, like Gabby said, we found a fact and we wrote a podcast about it. And I thought it was a great experience. And I think it's wonderful how technology's come along and it helps out students. And, I mean, through learning through, like, the computer classes, like Gabby said earlier, and using them here in FCS2, I think podcasts are wonderful and just make projects easy and make them fun to do.
Yeah, is it kind of more engaging to actually create something rather than kind of like in other classes, if you weren't making podcasts and you had to learn about a fact, what types of things do other teachers do?
Well, I know, like, usually it's just taking notes and just, like, maybe reading in front of the class, but this way it makes you interact and get used to computers, and I think it's a lot better than any other way to do it because it's different and unique.
And it's also when you're recording it and then when it's played back in front of a class, then it's more precise and it's like you don't have stage fright.
Yeah, yeah, you can use it that way, right? Yeah, so if you have to do a report or something, you could do a podcast on it. There's so many neat and free ways to get podcasts. I don't know if you guys have heard about something called iTunes U, but on there you can go to different universities and actually get some of the classes and lectures and just find all kinds of neat stuff out there and free podcasts, which is pretty cool. So now, besides the podcasts, and what I might do with your permission, if I can, maybe I'll include one of their podcasts or one or two of their podcasts. It's FCS2 Mighty Minute Podcasts.
That's correct.
What exactly was the idea for the Mighty Minute? Tina?
Well, I called it Mighty Minute just because I wanted a name for it, to refer to it in my classes, and also so I'd have a name for reference on my webpage. So there's a block on my webpage that is our FCS2 Mighty Minute podcast, and then I post all the podcasts that were made within a particular period of time. I don't let them all up, or I'd have a list that's like 250 long, so
wow.
That wouldn't be good. Yeah, so I put a certain number up on the on my webpage. Mighty Minute, because the podcasts are designed to be short. When I tell my students about them, I encourage them to think of it like a public service announcement on a radio.
Okay.
Where you might hear something. It's an important fact. There's a reason for listening. Maybe there's an idea of what to do with the information, but it's done within a short amount of time. And that's kind of the nature, then, the structure of our podcast, that a fact. In this case, for this semester, our main topic for all the podcasts was on child safety. And so each student found, or each team of students, they actually worked in teams of 2 to 3, but each team found a fact that was related to child safety. And then kind of the neat thing about making a podcast, a Mighty Minute podcast where it's short, is that every word you put into it has to have a purpose for being there, because there's not a whole lot of time
right.
to put in extra stuff that doesn't really mean much. And so I think it also helps to focus the thinking and get it down to really what's important.
Right, and there's...
But that's the Mighty Minute.
There's a... And that's a really great concept and a good reason for it, too. And one of the other things, too, is it's also a real-world type of project, because, you know, TV and radio, they do this type of thing all the time when it comes to either commercials or, like, you're doing public service announcements. So not only are the are your students learning something interesting and something important, but they're also learning a skill that they could actually apply out in the real world. So does that make a difference in your learning when Gabby and Matt, if you can actually, you know, when you're doing something that it can actually apply out to the real world?
It does. I remember, like, in math class, if we're learning something and it has no application in real life, then why learn it? That's why I like FCS class, because here we sew and we do podcasts, and I can see clearly that we're actually going to be able to do this in real life.
So you have an actual product, which is kind of nice to come out with, rather than this kind of another world of thoughts in your brain, right?
Yeah.
That's cool. Now, what other kind of neat things, and I'll open this up to all of you, what other neat technology-infused lessons and things are you creating in Mrs. Shank's class? And like I said, anyone can chime in.
We've done, like, PowerPoints and such for different topics. Like, I know my topic was, like, budgeting your money. We each made a slide, and we also talked with kids from our sister school, Marticville, to make a PowerPoint about an important thing in life, like a life skill.
How did you end up talking with another school?
Well, what we did is we typed back and forth, sort of almost like an email, if you could say, back and forth, saying that we've done this, and like we had our facts posted up on like a forum in Moodle, so we could transfer the facts and make a PowerPoint to present to our class.
So you did, yeah, like, go ahead.
The students work in teams of 2 to 3 here at Manor Middle with what we call remote partners at Marticville, and that down there at that school there's 2 to 3. And then, so they're working, I liken it to they're doing group work, just as you would in a traditional classroom, except the connection is through the internet and through the forum. And again, my use of technology in the classroom, I really make an effort to try to give experiences to my students that will be new and different for them, but significant in such a way that, again, I think they might experience it in later stages of education and perhaps in the work world. And I believe, just as we're doing today, talking to you in a remote location, that they will work remotely with business partners or others in their real lives. And so this was the beginning of how do you communicate with someone? How do you share research? How do you collaborate online? And so the project that is being referred to here is that product of that collaboration online.
That's definitely a real world skill right there. Gabby and Matt, how did you like doing that project? Was it interesting?
I thought it was interesting to learn how we could use forums to talk with our partners remotely and how to share resources, and how that we could attach a PowerPoint that everyone worked together on it. It was pretty informative.
So you actually... Go ahead.
It definitely taught me responsibility to do my portion of it, so it could be a successful project, and that working online, it's how to do it, I think, a really efficient way, and it really worked out well.
Now, did you, I guess you didn't work necessarily in the same periods, or maybe you did. You could work at almost any time you wanted to, right, on the projects?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think anybody had really the same periods.
So that's pretty cool. And from what I understand, at Marnickville and Manor Middle, they're probably about 10 miles apart. So even though you're local, you're not really local when it comes to school, because you don't get to... Have you actually met those, your partners?
Nope.
No?
Say not yet. Maybe when you get to high school.
Yeah. That would be a neat experience to actually meet your partners from your middle school project later on in high school. That's pretty cool. So, are there any other pieces to the technology puzzle that anyone would like to comment on when it comes to instructional technology and using tech in the classroom?
One of the first creative ways that I expanded technology into my classroom was I took a look at the sewing that we do, which is very, very traditional. Sewing's been part of family consumer sciences and home economics from the beginning, back in the 1800s. And there were some people that would argue today that sewing is kind of an outdated sort of thing to learn. But I think it's all in how you approach it. And sewing today, it can be a very creative and artistic outlet. And so in searching for a way to make a connection with technology and that very, very traditional component of sewing in my curriculum, I started to have the students do some, if they chose, to do some digital printing on fabric that they could include onto their project.
Oh, neat.
And that has turned out to be really a very popular thing to do, and something that's made projects really kind of just a notch above what they used to be.
Hey, Gabby and Matt, did you guys take advantage of that, or did you do projects that way?
I recently have a nephew, and I brought a picture in, and Mrs. Shank here, really nice, printed on some fabric, and I set it onto my pillow, and it came out really nicely and really enhanced the pillow, and just all from technology for doing that. So, I don't know, it can help out a lot and really make life better.
Matt, did you give that as a gift to someone?
I was thinking about it, but not yet.
You decided to keep it?
Yeah. I'm going to show it, though, to the family to let them know that I tried it out and show them it.
Sometimes the digital printing is creative artwork that the student does, and we scan from their sketchbook or something right into the computer.
Right.
Sometimes they do the something on the computer itself, and then we print it out. Or, like Matt said, lots of times students will bring in a photograph that means a lot to them, and then we will print it and sometimes put captions on it and that sort of thing. And many of those do become gifts. That's why I asked Matt if this was a gift. I couldn't remember. But a lot of those pillows become gifts for others, which is kind of neat, too, I think, that they're that special.
Wow, what a great way to just tie everything together, not only a personalization piece to it, so your students are engaged, but also bringing in technology and art. All in one class. That's really neat. Anything else you would like to share before we sign off here?
Thanks.
I would just like to say that using technology in the classroom, there are a lot of teachers who say, well, they're limited. Maybe they have one computer, or they don't have a projector, or this or that. And I didn't either at one time. I had just one computer, too, and I started that way. And then I just found ways to expand it through grants and various things. And I just think that technology really is, it's a doorway to a much greater way of enhancing both teaching strategies and the classroom experiences for the students, that there are ways. There are ways to definitely learn how to do it, to get supported for it, and to get the equipment. And it's just meant a tremendous boost to me in being a teacher.
Yeah, it definitely makes it a bit more exciting from what you had said. It kind of reinvigorated you, as far as I understand, correct?
Definitely, yeah, yeah. Yeah, 12, 15 years ago, I was getting kind of like in the doldrums of, okay, do this again, one more time, the same lesson. Do the kids listen? Do they not listen? Do they watch this demonstration? Maybe a few. And then I discovered technology, like iMovies for demonstrations. Everyone pays attention. And it's incredible. It just is, the difference is just tremendous. It's astounding. For me, having computers in the classroom is almost like having assistant teachers in the classroom. I can have a computer set up with a movie that I've created demonstrating a particular step on a project, and the student can sit there and watch it, and they can be helped while I'm helping someone else. And it's just a tremendous boost and a tremendous way of sharing information.
Okay, well, hey, thanks a lot, Tina, and thanks a lot, Gabby and Matt. Really appreciate you taking the time out today to talk on the podcast, and hopefully this will inspire some other folks, other teachers, and some students out there to get going with technology and just explore something simple at first and see how it can grow into really maturing and doing some neat things in your classroom.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks very much. So there you have it, a 34-year veteran of teaching in K-12, and she is off and running and feeling like it's brand new just because of integrating technology into the classroom. And she's engaging her kids with real-world assignments, and they're enjoying learning. What more can you ask for? Hey, I'd like to share, and Tina would like to share some of the things that she's been doing on her website. So you can go to her site at moodle.penmanner.net. That's moodle.penmanor.net. Click on Matter Middle School, then Mrs. Shank's FCS2 class, and when it asks you to, you can just click the Log In as a Guest button, and you can go in there and see all the cool things that Mrs. Shank is doing in her middle school FCS class. Probably give you some ideas. She's doing some really great things with her media page. Make sure you check out the link on her Moodle page to her actual media page. She does all sorts of projects with the kids that way. And talk about differentiated instruction. Mrs. Shank is doing incredible things. So we'd like to share all that with you and also say thank you for listening to the podcast. We will see you back here next time. Thanks again. Bye-bye.